Did you enjoy that special? Great. Our youth really do a great job, and we need to let them know how much we appreciate them and thank them for stepping up. Many adults won't come up here and do that, will they? So if you're willing to come up and sing, let us know. Let Nancy and Crystal know. And if you'd like to provide a special, well, we can always rely on our youth. We appreciate them, love them. All right, this morning, take your Bibles as we look again into 2 Peter chapter 3. This morning, we'll be looking at verses 5 through 7. But just to refresh our minds and memory from last week, verses 1 and 2 and then 3 and 4, I'll go back and read those. Take your Bibles. I hope you have your Bibles with you. You can follow along with me there, and I'll bring the other scriptures up later on the screen. But first of all, let's begin with verse 1, 2 Peter 3, 1. This is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by the way of reminder, that you should remember the word spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of the waters and by waters. So what's that saying? The whole earth at the very beginning was just all water. And then when they receded, the waters went to its part and the land remained in its part as well. In verse 6, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and the earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. So, we see what Peter is saying here again. Now, when you think about what we studied last week and what the scriptures were last week, 3 and 4, Peter turned our eyes upward and forward to Christ coming again. And he points us for God is the one who always, he can always be trusted. You know, when you read God's word, it reminds us of his trustworthiness. It reminds us that we can always go to him and claim his promises. We can trust his word from Genesis to Revelation. And he asked us to trust the revelation of God. And that is his holy word. God breathed. He breathed through the prophets. He breathed through the apostles, exactly what was to be written, and it was inspired. It was breathed by God to those who wrote it. So we are encouraged to be unshakable. Now, when you depend upon God and his promises and the word of God, we should be unshakable. And in our acceptance of the scriptures, and what I would call, because this message will come under attack, as it has in the past, and it will in the future become under attack. Because of the social, what I would call public opinion, its leaders will question the Bibles, and they will also cause believers to question it too. But if we're unshakable, we will understand and believe God's word is true. And for Bible students and those who went to seminary, we were stretched, unimaginable. So when I went into Bible college and seminary, my faith was already established. So, you know, if I agreed or didn't agree with those who was teaching, and most of them were right on with scriptures, and that affirmed what I believed. But if it didn't line up with what I thought was right, then it was questionable. So in the things in the world today, the social morals of this nation or the world itself is in question when it comes to Word of God because of their unbelief. So let's continue to see believing in the second coming of Christ is basically the matter of faith in God and accepting the scriptures of His revelation. So last week we looked at God's revelation in the last days, and that was in verses 1 and 2. And then in verses 3 and 4, we looked at God's word is true. So this morning, we want to look at God's word is consistent. You know, it's not like it, sometimes it's this way, and sometimes it's like that. No, it's always consistent. We can always trust whatever God says. It's as good today as it was yesterday, and will be also in the future. Now, when we look at verse 5 and 6, it answers the previous arguments by reviewing some ancient history. So, Peter takes us back, back in the very beginning of creation, and the things that took place, and it helps us in to have the affirmation and confirmation of what he is sharing with us. He believes it, and he's wanting to remind us, as the scripture says, that his word is true. So verses 5 and 6 answers the previous arguments. So let's look at verse 5, and we'll see what Peter is talking about here. For when they maintain this, it escapes your notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of the water and by the waters. So when the lives of these people mocked God, when they did, they really forget that God created everything that exists. Now, not only does Genesis chapter 1 confirms this, but also the writer of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 also confirms it by saying, by faith we understand. So see, that's what helps us. Our faith helps us understand. It helps us to believe. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God. You know, he just spoke it into existence. Isn't that amazing? God just spoke it into existence. It really defies the Big Bang theory, right? Now, how could something just Big Bang go off and so forth, big destruction or powers of that nature for everything that you see to be so perfect? Everything I've seen in a Big Bang, it's destroyed. There's nothing left. But in God's creation, he called it good. So that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Now, I'll be reading verse 1 later on, or quote it verse later on, which goes along with verse chapter 11, verse 3. Now, God's word created the heavens and the earth. Listen to what John, he kind of reminds us of what took place in Genesis. And this is what John says about 1 John chapter 1, beginning of verse 1 through 3. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things come into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being or existence that has come into being." So, in the beginning, God created heaven's earth. And here John said, in the beginning, God was the Word, and the Word was with Him, and the Word was God. You see the comparison that John uses from Moses' writings, that it is all that God did it, all. And so when we look at this, yet scoffers deny that God created the world in the beginning and deny that God would judge the world in its conclusion. And He will one of these days. In conclusions of all of the things that we see here on this earth, it will come to a conclusion. You've heard the saying, all good things come to an end. All good things we are to enjoy and thank God for His blessings as we experience the great things that God has done in our lives from the very beginning. But the end will be good for us, not for those who mock or scoff at God. It's not going to end very well with them, but for us, it's going to end good because we're going to be with Him one of these days. And the second coming tells us exactly how that's going to take place. Jesus will not touch the earth, but we will meet Him in the air if we're still alive when He comes back. When the Heavenly Father decides, not Jesus, the Heavenly Father says, "Okay, son, it's time. It is time." And the clouds would open, the skies, the sound of the trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and those who are alive and remain will be caught up with the Lord. So that is the second coming. That's what Peter is talking about right here. And we are to be looking up, because we never know when that day is going to be. I like looking up anyway. If you look up, you won't run into things as much as you do if you're looking down, right? But you look up so that you can see the beauty of the Christ, the Son of God, when He returns. I was thinking about that yesterday as I was outside. I always like look up at the sky and see what's going on, see what's flying over, what the birds and all the things. They're always happy. They're always singing. We should be as Christians, shouldn't we? We should be happy and singing as well. I think that's why God created the mockingbird, because He mocks all the other birds and makes them sound good too. So I think that's so wonderful of God's creation, why each created thing has its own distinct nature, just like we have our distinct nature, but we are like the image of God. That's what we ought to be practicing. And that's why believers should be unshakable in their belief about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God's Word is our foundation. It's been our foundation from the very beginning, when it was written on the Dead Sea Scrolls, when the priests read them, or when Jesus read the Old Testament of Isaiah and so forth. Jesus is saying, this is the foundation. This is the Heavenly Father's Word. And I am equal and a representative of the Heavenly Father. here I am in the flesh, and the word is true because I'm fulfilling God's purpose here on this earth and providing salvation for each one that will come to me and repent of their sins. So when we see the truth of God's word, it should light us up inside. We should be on fire for God, knowing that His word is true. Now, the heavens existed refers to the expanse or the sky created on the second day of creation, and you'll find that in Genesis chapter 6, 6 through 8. And the earth was formed out of the water, and with water refers to the land appearing from the water on the third day of creation, Genesis 1, 9 through 10. So you see the coordination of this, how God, everything fell right in place. And Peter's saying, you know, I'm reminding you of this. This should shake you. This should stir you up. If you're down, it should stir you up because God is faithful and true in His sayings, in His word. Okay, in verse 6, let's look at it this morning, which states a direct intervention by God in the course of human history. So, verse 6 says, through which the world at that time was destroyed. Now, Peter is taking us back to Noah in the flood, being flooded with water, okay? In the very beginning, the earth was just water, okay? That's how everything started. When God created the earth, it was just water. And then water separated, and it went to its part where it is now, and the land as we see it is where it is now as well. So that's taking us back to the course of human history back in Genesis. Now, the scoffers claim is what I would say, they're short-sighted. They're not on the right page. They're not in the right mind. And they ignore because they ignore the fact that the things have not continued as they were from the beginning. That's what scoffers and mockers say. But in the previous verse, Peter stated that the universe and all contained within it were created by the Word of God. And you can trust the Word of God on that. Now, Peter informs his readers that by the same Word of God, that judgment was brought out upon every living being of human history because of the great wickedness back in the day of Noah. And that will happen again. And that's what brings on judgment. See, the whole earth was covered with water. There was no dry land. Noah prophesied, he preached for 120 years, looking for converts, looking for those who would believe the Word of God, that the Word that was being given to him, he prophesied, he preached his heart out to the sinners of that time, that the world was full of sin. Actually, the sin, the Bible calls it, was full of evil. There was no good at all in any man. But because of God's grace, Noah, his wife, and children were saved. There was 8 of them on that ark with all the animals. Evidently, they believed in God, right? I mean, they had the sense to believe in God. You know why? Noah didn't send for them to come to the ark. They came on their own. You know, they had common sense. Hey, I think it's going to rain. The instinct that God placed in their system, they knew they needed to get on that boat. And they did. Isn't it amazing? And they came two by two. God placed that instinct in their lives, in their bodies, and they came. And when the last one was on the ark, Noah didn't close the door. Who closed it? God closed the door. See, that took the pressure off of Noah. Noah didn't close the door because God was bringing the judgment upon those who were evil in this world at that time. And the same thing would be taking place as Peter is explaining here. That judgment will come by fire this next time when he comes back again. Now, let's look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, refers to the day when God will come to judge the earth and cleanse it from evil, just like he did during the flood. He cleansed the world of evil. Verse 7 says, but by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire. Okay, no more water. Why? Because the Bible, and this is another truth that is so amazing. God promised not to destroy the earth by a flood again by the sign of what? The rainbow. And to get our attention sometimes, he'll put two or three up there, right? Isn't that amazing? You say, oh yeah, that is triple assurance that God does that. And it is so beautiful. And if that doesn't lift your spirits or encourage you, say, yes, God's word is true. When you see the rainbow, that's a promise. And God's promises are always true. Now, I want to clarify some things from verse 7 back to verse 5, because this is very important, because this is why Peter says, as a reminder to you. I want you to understand it, because sometimes Paul does that. He takes you back to where he started to reemphasize where he is going in the scriptures. So, when you see by the same word, which is right here in verse 7, now by the same word, the translation's kind of worded a little bit different, but I like what the KJV or the New KJV says in verse 7, by the same word, okay? Which means, let me go there, by the same word, there it is. Verse 7, meaning the word of God that brought existence into being. Okay? That's what verse 7 is saying. By the same word also sustains his creation. Now, in verse 5, it says, and brought the waters destruction upon Noah's day. That's verse 6. So, going back to the same word, God also sustains his creation. Verse 5 and verse 7 are a combination of what took place back then, and it is the same today with God's creation. How it took place and how it will continue to develop and process through the prophecy that God has given us through his word. And if you will look each day and see and listen to the news and the media and so forth, trying to explain it in their way, we will know what the Bible says and we will know the truth, okay? We don't always get the truth from the media and so forth, the news, but we always will get it directly from God, what is going to be taking place, and it will happen exactly the way God says it will happen. And God not only created existence, God also maintained and preserved his, what I would call creation, every moment of the day as long as he desires. As long as he desires, he will keep maintaining what is going on today in his creation. Now, I thought it was interesting as doing some cross-referencing that even Paul talks about this in Colossians chapter 1. If you want to write this down and go back and read it later, you better understand what I'm talking about here as Peter and Paul are explaining together because they got the word from who? God. So they both were right on the same page. And this is what Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things... Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. All right, in verse 17, he is before all things, and he, in him, all things hold together. Isn't that great? See, he holds this, his creation together. And he has the last word, whether it be his creation or when he comes back again and brings judgment upon those who rebel against him. So there are specific limitations to this world's existence according to the sovereign will of our Almighty God. There are limitations. Limitations. The power of the word which sustains all living will one day release the fire of judgment upon the world and its wicked people. That's how it will end. In fact, the world is preserved for just a certain tragic, fiery destruction when the world will come to the end in what I will call, as you can imagine, a blazing inferno, as Peter describes it here in this latter passage. That's the way it will be. It's hard for us to imagine, but we've seen destructions of fire and high-powered explosives, what they do. There will be no comparison to what God can do and will do. So we're reasonably conclude that the Lord Jesus will intervene in history. See, this intervention will take place when he comes the second time to institute his kingdom here on earth. That's what he'll do. And in spite of the fact that the Lord has not returned, the hope of his return is a present reality for you and me, the believers. See, it's an affirmation for us. And the flood and the future renewal of the earth by fire remind us of, I believe, what Peter is saying, that God accomplishes all of his promises and he has a purpose. He has declared that Jesus will come again someday. Actually, Acts chapter 1, verse 11 tells us about that as well. So, in our conclusion this morning, the inevitable, that means it's going to happen, inevitable of God's judgment is a call for the unbeliever to examine. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you know, when we take communion, it says we are to examine ourselves to see if there's anything, any wickedness or anything in our mind that we need to confess before the Lord. So he is giving the unbeliever all the opportunity in the world to confess and to believe, not mock, not scoff, but believe in the Word of God. And they should, as they look around and see their own existence along with the world, how perfect the world itself, how God created it and made it perfect and placed us here. And when we're here for a reason, we're here for a purpose. We're not here just to feel good and be happy and all of that thing, all of those things, but we are to have joy in our lives because we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That is the joy of life, knowing Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and one of these days we will be with Him. So when we look, God has the end in mind, and He has it in sight. We don't. There's been a lot of those who predict predictions, I would say. I had a friend 2 years ago, 2018, said it was going to end on December a certain day. I said, I don't think so. if you know that, you know more than God. It didn't happen, did it? And we don't know when it's going to happen, but it will happen because God has it in, He will have it in the end, and He has it in sight. And we just got to be ready. We got to be prepared when that day comes. I like what Billy Graham said back when he was alive and preaching and actually talking along the line of what I'm talking about here about Jesus Christ coming again. And he said this, and I wholly believe what he says here as well. The most thrilling, glorious truth in the world is the second coming of Jesus Christ. It is the sure promise of the future. It is. It is sure promise of the future. Didn't see the second coming, but he'll be a part of the second coming. Yes. All of those who have gone on to be with the Lord, they'll come with him. And we'll see our loved ones face to face. Now, I want to close with this last verse. I used Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 a few minutes ago, but now I want to go back to verse 1 because this kind of gives me the affirmation of everything I've said this morning to bring it to light and help us to better understand who's in control. Because the writer of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of those things unseen. You see? Isn't that what Peter's talking about? It's going to happen. You know, it's not very hard for us to believe in the things that we see with our own two eyes, but our mind cannot comprehend the things that are unseen. But if we can, just like Jesus that said to Thomas, believing is seeing rather than seeing is believing. So if we can believe, we're seeing with our heart, not with our eyes. We're believing also. Because if any man or any person believes in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and believes in their heart and confess of their sins, you will be saved. Because it's with the confession of the mouth and believing in our heart that a person has salvation. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, actually, this verse right here, verse 1 in chapter Hebrews 11, is the scripture for the week for you to memorize. And when you memorize this, it will help to remind you of God's promises. They're true. They're true. And that should give you the assurance. When you get up in the morning, God's still in control. Amen? Amen. He's still in control. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, how it speaks to us and how you interpret the scriptures through the apostles and the prophets who you inspired to write it. And then through the power of your Holy Spirit working in and through our lives, we also can interpret it for our own life and for how we are to live each day in the fullness and abundance of your truth. That we are to have the joy and the peace that passes all understanding. That means our comprehension. That means even though we don't fully understand it, but we will one of these days. When we see you face to face, then we will realize, yes, all of these years, my faith and my trust in you is true. And Lord, we just pray for unbelievers, those who really haven't taken seriously your word. And maybe they're just not linked in or are conscious of your saving grace. Anyone listening live this morning that doesn't know you personally, Lord, we lift them up in the name of Jesus, that you will speak to their heart as we pray. And those who maybe not even listening will recognize as they look at your great creation that there is a true and living God. You're not in creation because you created it. You are, as you say, I am that I am. The Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And in the end, there will be that second coming. It's in sight. And Lord, you know when that's going to be. So for us right now, as we sing our last song, our invitation, it is our time to respond to your invitation, to come to you and say, Lord, I need you in my life. I want you to live through my life that I might enjoy the abundance of joy and the peace that only comes from you. I praise you and I thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Let us stand as our closing song, God is So Good.